Hey everyone, and welcome to the Women Invest in Real Estate podcast. I'm Grace.
And I'm Amelia. We're your hosts, both full-time real estate investors on a mission to empower women through real estate investing so they can live out their wildest dreams.
Whether you're just dipping your toes into the real estate waters or you're a seasoned pro looking to scale, you're in the right place. We'll be your real estate besties as we talk about our experiences, insights, the nitty-gritty details of our day-to-day lives, and of course, have some belly laughs.
Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Let's get started. Missy Tracy was our guest today, and she got on and shared how she found a win-win partnership through the Wire community and closed on a 13-unit multifamily deal in Chicago, Illinois.
This was a great episode because Missy was very intentional and very all about the numbers, clearly, because she was a data scientist and engineer. She started investing a few years ago and had a few deals until she met Jesse Dillon, who's been featured on episodes 149 and 22 on the Wire podcast, and ended up buying a 13 unit, which was previously super scary and intimidating to her. So we hope you enjoy this episode, and we know you're going to learn lots.
You can't build a successful rental business without using software to find and manage tenants. That's why we recommend TurboTenant. TurboTenant helps you market your rental, screen tenants, create leases, collect rent, and everything in between. It's seriously the only way to scale your rental business. And because we partnered with TurboTenant, you get an exclusive discount. Get a year of premium for less than your Netflix subscription, or stick with their free plan forever. Visit the link in the show notes and use code WIRE20 for 20% off.
Welcome back to the Wire podcast. Today we have Missy Tracy, a member of our Wire community, on the podcast to talk all about a deal that she did with another Wire community member. Missy, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
We are so excited to hear behind the scenes of this partnership because we've seen it happening in the Wire community. We've heard about it, and now we get to ask you all the direct questions. So thanks for being here today. Do you want to start us with how did you get into real estate?
So I got into real estate probably about 10 years ago by accident because of my dog.
Your dog?
Well, yeah. So it's kind of a random story. We couldn't find a rental that would allow our dog. She's a pit bull mix. So ended up buying a house at the time and doing a live-in flip kind of unbeknownst to us. That was our first foray into it. And then sold that and then didn't do anything for like 5 more years. And so really actively got into real estate about 3 years ago as a way to more aggressively pursue financial independence.
So what did your portfolio look like up until this point when you partnered with Jesse? Jesse Dillon, spoiler alert, is who this partnership is with. She's been on the podcast many, many times. But Missy, I'm excited to get your point of view, just throwing this in there, because we talk to Jesse a lot. And I'm like, is this a one-sided story or what's going on here? So we're going to dig into the details. But what did your portfolio look like up until this partnership?
Yeah. So in 2023, I bought a duplex and I do MTRs on both of those. And then 2024, I bought a single family long-term rental. So 3 doors, all self-managing, all 3 out of state in the same kind of Midwest metro.
Okay. And I think another cool part of your story is, at least for a while, you were kind of living a nomadic lifestyle, weren't you?
I'm leaning more into that now. So I spent a few months this winter in Mexico, and that is what is guiding my journey to this financial independence path. And I'm also in the process of working on converting my primary house into a part-time MTR so that we can rent it out when we travel. So becoming nomadic, more nomadic, is our end game plan.
The reason why I ask that is because I do feel like it plays a part in your story, just because Grace and I know a little bit about your background because you are in the community. I feel, and we'll get into this, but living a nomadic lifestyle and kind of being the silent partner on these type of deals seems like it's kind of what you're going for, so that you can live a life of, you know, financial independence and freedom outside of a full-time job and managing tenants and doing all the things that come with being a real estate investor.
Yes. Yeah. So I feel like in the last 6 months, I've really had a big personal realization and strategy pivot, where when I started on my real estate journey, I was very much like, I'm going to get all these MTRs. I'm going to self-manage it. I'm going to do all the things. Like, I'm going to self-manage to optimize the cash flow. And then once I got into it, I realized that that really wasn't working for the lifestyle that I'm trying to build. There's nothing wrong with it. I know tons of people do it really successfully, but I really want the ability to be able to go off grid and like not pay attention to my phone, just like not worry. Being a passive partner, and then we can get into this further in our discussion too, but just hiring out property management. I'm realizing that my role is in the portfolio management, the asset management. So that's kind of where I'm trending. And this deal was just like a really great experience to set me down that path.
I know so many investors who, and a lot of times they're beginner investors, really want to be active in the deal because they think it's sexy and it's fun. And I want to say I'm a real estate investor. And so many times Amelia and I will tell them, and for the people who have the capital to do this, why don't you just go be a silent investor on somebody's deal who you trust, you've vetted, you know, all the things. Of course, you cannot just partner with somebody blindly. You have to really make sure at the end of the day that you trust them. And there's always risk. But that is my end game. I want to be the one that just silently partners while some other kick-ass investor is taking care of the day-to-day, making sure the world still spins in our real estate portfolio. And I feel like so many people just want to be active so that they can say they're an active investor. And I'm like, I feel like the real deal is being the passive investor. That's where like life is really good. Because like you said, you can go off grid, you can do whatever you want. You're just making your money work for you.
It's a double-edged sword. I have to throw that in there because I'm like, we also preach like, know how to run your portfolio before you silently invest. Totally. So it's like, yeah, you got to do both a little bit. But yes, Grace, I agree. Some people really glamorize like actively managing their portfolios. And I'm like, boom, I'm here to tell you.
Yeah, because Amelia and I both started without any money. We had to be scrappy. So we couldn't, being a silent investor was not an option. We had to be that other side, the scrappy, I'll do everything, figure it out, do everything myself. But that's a whole nother story. I want to dive into Missy. How long have you been in the Wire community? Why did you join? And the reason I'm asking is because tomorrow is the last day to join the Wire community where you can ditch the 9-to-5 and step up as CEO of your business with resources, tools, expert advice, and a girl game who's got your back. Maybe if you're listening, you'll even find an incredible partnership like we discussed in today's episode, like Missy did. Don't miss out. Head to womeninvestinrealestate.com/thewirecommunity to sign up. Doors won't open again until the fall. But Missy, what has the community meant to you? Why did you join? And how long have you been in the Wire community?
Yes. So I joined back in November when the doors first opened. So one of the founding members.
Ooh, founding member, baby.
And I was really looking for a community, like an ongoing community. Like in the past, I've been in other mentorships, other programs to get the education. And I felt like I had a solid basis of kind of the fundamentals. And I was really looking for, we've talked about it before, that like middle investor community of like people who had done their first deal, they had, you know, maybe had a couple under their belt, and they're just like really in that like growth phase of their investing journey. So I was really looking for a community that had just a lot of people in that same phase. And I love that it's all the ladies, and, you know, have been a listening to the podcast for a while. So it seemed great.
It's so funny because Amelia and I both like had a ton of guy friends in high school and college. We were both very athletic, very tomboy, very outdoorsy. And then now we're like, how do we end up with the women's community? And also we freaking love it. But how did you meet Jessie?
So I met Jessie through the Wire community. I had heard her podcast, her Wire podcast. I think it was released in November, but it came out like at such a pivotal time when I was like shifting from this active to passive or semi-passive phase in my strategy. And I was just like, I remember hearing the podcast and I was like, oh my God, this is it. Like, this girl has it figured out. I think I listened to it like 4 times. Like, I made my husband listen to it like on our drive over Thanksgiving. I was like, this is the ticket. So I was like, made a mental note, like, man, I need to reach out to this girl and like see if she's like still looking for partners. Fast forward a couple of weeks, join the Wire community. And then you guys do that self-promotion Sunday. And Jessie posted like, hey, I do this, blah, blah, blah. I'm looking for capital partners. And I was like, well, hey, perfect. Like, this is so easy. Like, this was something that I had been meaning to do anyways. And the Wire community just like facilitated that.
That's such a great story. And I think it's a testament to multiple things. I have to give Jesse a shout out here because I don't know anyone who's as consistent with posting about what she's looking for than Jesse Dillon. Like, she is always posting on Instagram. She's always in the Wire community. She talks about it, like, when she's on the podcast, that she's looking for capital partners that specifically have, you know, X amount of dollars and whatever else. And I'm just like, wow. Testament to like putting yourself out there and being consistent with it. And then two, this is just like a huge hell yeah for the podcast, and that you heard her on the podcast and then she was in the Wire community and then you actually reached out to her and like formed this partnership. So when you reached out to her, what, how did that conversation go? Did you just say like, hey, I'm looking to partner, let's get on a phone call? Or can you walk us through that?
Basically, I sent her a message and was like, hey, like, I'd love to chat. So we scheduled a call. We jumped on a Zoom and just got to know each other and talked through both our current portfolios and like what our goals are for investing. It was really important that we both were on the same page with not wanting to self-manage, because we're both looking for this like as passive as we can get it portfolio, because we both had similar financial independence goals and objectives. So we were really aligned with that. And then we also were really aligned with how we wanted to run our portfolio, like what kind of landlords we wanted to be. Like, we don't want to be slumlords. Like, we want to actually be like really proactive, good property owners and give our tenants a good place to live. So I think just getting in alignment with all of those things was really important. And so now that we own the property, those kind of mindsets are coming into play. And so we're starting to implement that.
It's smooth sailing because you guys really talked about what you wanted. And I know that on that episode, Jesse does go really deep into making sure you're in alignment. So that also speaks really well to you as a partner, that you were able to say what you wanted, what you were looking for, and that you both felt like you were going to be stronger together.
What gave you the confidence? Or, because I know a lot of investors that have never partnered before are really scared about coming to the table with their wants and needs. So I'm just curious, from your perspective, how were you able to relay those things confidently to Jesse?
Yeah, so I think initially we had set up certain financial objectives that she tries to hit with all of her partners, right? So she was looking for a deal that would give me a 15% cash on cash return or better at year five, or like a 2.5 to 3x equity multiplier. So we kind of had those like hard numbers established. And then I would say making sure that I got what I need came more into play when we were looking at the deals. And I just wanted to make sure that like I fully bought into, you know, the property and kind of the projections on that to protect my financial interests.
I like those examples.
I agree. And I think one thing that makes this partnership unique, at least from the way that I originally partnered, one, there's a lot more thought that's gone into this partnership than the one I was in a while back. But two is the fact that neither one of you want to be property managers, and you know that, and you built that into the fees for the property, which is so unique, because I feel like a lot of times there's one person that's the boots on the ground, that's like give it the sweat equity of the property management and all of those things, which Jesse is still managing the property manager, but it's just a different perspective. And I want people to know that you don't have to be the property manager to bring all sorts of great benefits to the partnership. So that's really unique. I wanted to make that called out. So then when you're moving the next step, how did you firm up or finalize the different roles and the goals? And how did that process go?
Yeah, so I was Jesse's fourth partner at the time. So she already had a framework in place that had worked well. So we just kind of, you know, rinse and repeat that. I did run the partnership documents by my attorney just to like make sure I wasn't missing anything.
And what were those documents?
So we have a JV partnership that spells out that I'm the capital contributor and that she is the active partner. And then it also spells out what decisions need dual input versus like what she can do. There's a $5,000 monetary value threshold for that.
If you're listening, write that down. What dollar amount does it need to be a dual decision? That's so genius to have it so crystal clear like that.
So it's a JV document, and we have a minimum 5-year hold time with expected 10-year hold time. So we did establish that as well. And then on top of that, we created a real estate trust.
Let's move into the actual deal. Where was it? What was it? And can you give us the numbers?
Yes. So it is a 13 unit in Chicago, Illinois. It was initially listed for, I think, like 1.125. So we purchased it for 1.07. It appraised for 1.08. Jesse was able to negotiate about $75,000 in seller credits for various reasons. So the effective purchase price was just over $1 million. It is, like I said, 13 unit. It's all long-term rentals. 11 out of the 13 units had been pretty much fully rehabbed in the last like 2 years. One unit has been rehabbed in the last decade, but it needs some love. And then there's one unit that hasn't been touched in decades that we will eventually have to go in and fully rehab. So it's mostly good to go. There are some CapEx items that we need to tend to that kind of came up during the inspection. So our plan is to reinvest all of the cash flow for the first like 2-ish years into that, just to get it really like optimized. And then as far as financing, so we did just do a commercial loan, just typical bank financing, 25% down. And then that down payment, actually, once we got into the deal and we were under contract, the financing terms kind of changed on us. So we had to get creative. We were initially going in with the assumption that we could do 20% down because that's what the broker had told us. But by the time we were under contract, it had become 25% just because the lending conditions the spring had changed. So we ended up needing to bring in a private money lender to help us fund the working capital account. So we got an 18-month private money loan. So our plan is to reinvest into the property, raise rents to market. That is part of the value proposition, is that it was like an operational value add primarily because rents were under market value. So doing that, adding laundry to the building, I think the plan is to add the internet package as well. So just trying to bring up the value, and then hopefully we'll do a refi in about 18 months. Be able to pay the private money lender back and then go from there.
For the private money lender, if you don't mind sharing, how did you guys source that person?
It's Jesse. It's like a private money lender that she's used in the past and was familiar with Jesse. So it
I'm
was.
I'm pretty sure it was Shalom.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't. No.
What due diligence did you do on your end of things as far as making sure the numbers that Jesse was providing you were accurate?
Yeah, so I just ran my own pro formas, basically, in tandem. I'm like very much a spreadsheet person. That's just like my background leans that way. So I was like, yeah, I just ran my own numbers and compared it.
Like, where were you pulling market rents in Chicago?
That I was just like going to Zillow and seeing. But that part, we just kind of trusted our current property manager to say like, yeah, these seem accurate. So it was more so on all the other areas, like the expense assumptions and like appreciation and the future valuation. I kind of developed my own spreadsheet and did a sensitivity analysis just to see like, if I tweak these things, where does it fall? And then like, you know, Jesse's numbers fell in that. So I felt comfortable and I could kind of play with like worst case scenario on my end and say like, this is fine. I'm still comfortable with this because like I was taking money out of the stock market and putting it in to this property. So I was just making sure that in the worst case scenario, I was still doing better than I would be in stocks.
Okay. All these things Missy is saying are so genius. If you haven't picked up on it, she took advantage of a great active investor to be the silent partner. But that's only half of it. The other half is that she is trusting but verifying everything, running her own numbers so that she knows she can sleep well at night, knowing that she investigated the deal and feels good about it. That is a key piece of this partnership. If you're ever partnering with somebody, we want it to be somebody that you trust, but you have to verify. It is not smart for you to just blindly listen to somebody's numbers. Missy, you did an entire spreadsheet analysis of all the different pro formas and variables. I absolutely love that. And I know that that only made your partnership smoother because not only did Jesse believe in the numbers, but you believed in the numbers from your own conclusions. And that made both of you so much more excited and confident about the deal.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that we have multiple exit plans too to pay back the private money lender. That was something that I was a little nervous at first to do it because it was just a big, scary deal. It's a lot of money. Yeah, it's a lot of money. So I think part of it was like me like verifying like, okay, this is fine. This is fine. And then just like trusting Jesse. And she made a comment. She was like, you know, a purchase this at this price point is going to feel scary, like no matter what. And so having her and her experience, it just like helped get me over my own roadblocks. And that was part of why I wanted to partner is because I wanted to get into commercial. It's like an asset class that is really interesting to me, but I was terrified to do it on my own. So I was like, okay, just lean on Jesse.
Actually, that's such a great point. I wanted to ask, what would you say to those that are thinking they would rather stay solo than partner? Because again, it's another double-edged sword, right? But from your perspective, maybe give us like the pros and cons, or maybe it's all pros for you.
I mean, partnering, you are giving up some control, right? And I think that's the scariest part. And you're either trusting someone who you maybe just met or you haven't known for a very long time, or you're partnering with family or friends, and that can bring in its own challenges. But I think if you have the capital and you have the courage to do it on your own, like, go for it. Like, it simplifies things. But for me, I didn't have the courage. And so I needed that extra person who had kind of already walked down the path that I wanted to walk down to show me how it was done. So for me, it was really helpful. And now moving forward, like, my plan is to purchase a multifamily on my own in Chicago, kind of like leveraging all of the contacts that we've made. It was a win-win for both Jesse and I. Like, she was able to continue growing without capital. I was able to kind of dip my feet into the multifamily world, but not taking on all the risk myself. And now I've learned so much through the process that I can then go and invest in my own building.
That is so smart. I want to snap my fingers, but I really can't snap. So I'm giving you snaps here. I wanted to rewind too, because selfishly, I wanted to ask about that you use stocks to purchase. Are there penalties on taking your stocks out of the stock market? Kind of walk through that a little bit.
Yeah. So it depends on where they're coming from. So I should rewind a little bit. So I started, you know, I had the first live-in flip years ago. And then I was just on the like traditional financial independence path of like saving a ton, investing in index funds. And then I reached a point where I was like, okay, I'm like way over indexed in stock market. Like, I want to spread this out a little bit and get more into real estate. So it's a combination of like using brokerage stocks and then Roth retirement funds and traditional retirement funds and selling them in a very strategic way. So I did a lot of deep diving into, I love tax strategy. That's kind of like something.
Weirdo.
Something I didn't realize about myself until I started this game. And I'm like, oh, it's like a game. So the brokerage account, that you're just dealing with either long or short-term capital gains taxes. I'm also working with a CPA when doing this, I should say. So it's very strategic. And then the Roth IRA or the Roth funds, you can actually access all of the contributions penalty-free if they've been in your account long enough, and then you just get charged 10% on the gains. And then for the traditional funds, yes, it's a 10% penalty and income tax, but I'm also being really strategic with that too. And I left my W-2 and I'm pursuing the real estate professional status. And also with these larger apartment buildings, it makes a ton of sense to do cost segregations. So that's a way to minimize the taxes on, yeah.
Missy, I love how strategic and intentional you are. Like, if you're listening, I think everything that you've said, Missy, is strategic and intentional. You didn't just willy-nilly sell off your stocks to go into this partnership blind. Like, these are the types of partnerships that change your life when you are very intentional and clear-cut with them, and they are very purposeful to moving the needle forward in the exact way that you want to move the needle forward. For you, that's being able to be a nomadic, off-the-grid investor who can enjoy their life. And I think that's something we preach in the Wire community all the time is, we are not buying deals just to say we own 1,000 units. We're buying properties to move the needle in how we can live our most perfect lifestyle or our most intentional lifestyle. And I think that a lot of people forget that. So I love that you're saying that and reiterating one of the core messages that we have at Wire.
I think another thing I want to hit on is in Wire, we also don't preach to invest from a place of financial like scarcity, or that's not the word I'm looking for. But in my personal opinion, I don't think you should invest in real estate if you don't have any money. I think there's very unique situations where if you're super scrappy and super work like a dog and like are willing to put in a ton of sweat equity, like you can make it work. But I really would not preach that to the masses. I think those people are pretty scammy. So I like that you had like a really strong sense of like just financial literacy before you even started on this. And I think a lot of investors that I know and a lot of investors in the community do start with like the FIRE movement, financial independence. Dave Ramsey, then we're investing in stocks. And then we're like, holy shit, we're so lopsided in stocks. We need to do something else. How can we make our money work for us in different ways? And then we get into real estate investing and carry on. But I wanted to call that out specifically because I think it's really important.
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think financial literacy is something that I'm blown away mm-hmm. is not something that we're taught. Like I just learned it on my own after I had like I went to grad school and I started like my first career job. And I was just like, wait, what? I have all this debt. I'm supposed to save and I'm just supposed to do this for the next like 30 years. Like this is insanity.
Missy, I'm curious, how would you describe Wire to those who aren't in it? And what has been some of your favorite parts of our community?
So the Wire community, I would describe it as a network of women who are just a bunch of badass women, frankly, doing all types of investing all over. It's a little bit of everything, which is what I love so much about it. There's like so much chatter going on in the community. There's just like so much to learn from other people's experiences, like people sharing their wins, their losses, their struggles. Like I think there's so much value in hearing just the nitty-gritty day-to-day details of other investors as opposed to some like, you know, polished curriculum. It's like just like learning in the while you're in the weeds. That's what I love about it. I initially joined Wire. I was like attracted to the cohorts because I thought that I was like going to burr and flip. This was like before I realized like, oh, I actually have the capital that I can just shift. Like, so it's like, how can I work smarter, not harder? But anyways, that aside, the thing that I've ended up loving the most is like the inside scoops that you guys do combined with just like the community chit chat, because it's just like seeing how other people are doing this investing thing. And like, I'm personally learning so much from that.
We truly do give you a behind the scenes look, not just me and Grace, but all the women in the community. It's a behind the scenes look into what's happening in their business. Like you said, the good and the bad. And I don't feel like anyone's pretending to be something that they're not. And I love that it's also mid-level investors that actually have stuff to talk about. Like they actually are doing things day to day because they own, you know, small, mid, large size portfolios, but most people have done a few deals. And another member in the community was like, I use the Mighty Networks app as like my social media or my Facebook. Like I'll just get on the app and like scroll through all the posts that people are posting and actually learn something versus like social media where I'm just mindlessly scrolling and not getting anything from it. And I'm like, I never even thought about that, but you're so right.
Yeah, I do want to give a shout out to the platform from a technical standpoint. Like, I love that there is an app. It makes it really easy. And I also love that access to the recordings and the community conversation is all in the same place. So it makes it just really easy to find stuff.
Missy, if people are looking to get a hold of you, maybe someone's like, ooh, I want to partner with Missy now. Where's the best place they can find you other than in the Wire community?
Probably just Instagram, Missy K. Tracy. I'm not super big on the socials, but get a hold of me there.
Thanks for sharing, Missy. If you were listening, I hope your takeaways are to be extremely intentional and strategic with your tax strategy, underwriting, and partnerships, just like Missy is, so that if you want, you can find an incredible win-win partnership like her and Jesse did. Thank you so much for being here. We will see you, Missy, inside the Wire community. And for any of those who haven't joined yet and feel lonely in their real estate career, come find your girl gang or future partners inside the Wire community. Doors close tomorrow and won't reopen for a while, so don't miss out. Sign up at womeninvestinrealestate.com/thewirecommunity or use the link in the show notes. And I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Thanks so much for tuning in. If you loved today's episode, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to check us out and join our community at womeninvestinrealestate.com and follow us on Instagram at wire with 2 eyes.community.